There's tremendous structure and tremendous order in the universe. Everything is structured. From the very smallest things to the very biggest things, there's tremendous design, structure, and order. That's why it works. Let me give you an example. The basic unit of the universe is the galaxy. We don't think of it that way. We think that the basic unit of the universe is the atom. That's the smallest thing that we commonly deal with, is the atom. Now, you can't see them. They're very, very small. You take the very tip of a pin, you've got about 60 million atoms on the very tip of a pin. That's how small they are. But we still deal with them all the time. That's why we have things like electricity, because that's all about atoms and parts of atoms, electrons. And that produces things like electricity. So we commonly deal with atoms. But that's here. That's on Earth. Really, if you're talking about the universe, it's so big. The basic unit is the galaxy. There's countless galaxies, hundreds of billions of galaxies that we're aware of, and I'm not talking about the ones we can't see. Those are just the ones we can see. There's hundreds of billions of them. Galaxies come in clusters. So you may have anywhere between just a handful of galaxies to 100, 200, 300 galaxies in a cluster. The clusters are also clustered in something called superclusters, which is clusters of clusters. So you may have clusters of anywhere between a handful and hundreds of galaxies, and then you have clusters of these clusters, and they make up the superclusters. If you look at the structure of the universe, you know what it looks like? It's really kind of bizarre. It looks like milk bubbles. If you take a straw, put it in milk, and blow, you know the bubbles you get? That's what the universe looks like. Now, that's almost funny in a way, but those are very precise geometric patterns. They're actually quite complex patterns. Very precise. And this is the universe. Go figure. Who would think that the universe is made of bubbles? Right? But it looks like bubbles. And then all these things make up a wall. And the walls are so precise that you can see the lines on some of these walls. It's mind-numbing how this works. And all of it is connected with a fabric. We don't know what the fabric is made of. It's not fabric like a cloth, but it is a fabric of some kind. And we know that now. We didn't think so. We thought it was all just emptiness out there. It's not. There's actually a fabric on which all of this is sitting. And the Bible has told us this 9 times. It says that God stretched out the heavens, and twice He stretched them out like a drape, a curtain. So we know that it's cloth-like. The amazing thing is the precision of these things. We're in a supercluster. There's a telescope in Hawaii. It's one of the best telescopes in the world. They discovered the pattern, the shape of our supercluster. So we're in this supercluster, which contains our cluster, which contains our galaxy, which contains us. And we are in this supercluster. It's called Laniakei. And it looks like a feather. It's mind-numbing how precise the pattern is. The supercluster literally looks like a feather. Yeah, there's pictures of it. You can find them online. If you look at this, the precision of the geometric patterns is mind-boggling. And the supercluster next to ours looks like a feather also. And it appears that maybe this feather shape is a common shape. Now, some galaxies, we know they're spirals, but some galaxies spiral three-dimensionally. And they look like seashells. You know those seashells that have, you know, kind of spiraled? They look like those kind of spiraled seashells. And you have these shapes that repeat constantly from the very smallest scales, from the very smallest things to the very largest things. And it's all very precise. The pattern just of our solar system is very precise. As a matter of fact, it's so precise that if you move the Earth just a little bit closer to the sun, we're not going to have any water at all. It'll be too hot. If you move it just a little bit farther away, we're going to be like Mars and everything's going to be freezing. All the water is going to be frozen. It's going to be incredibly cold. Now, we're only 95 million miles from the sun, which seems like a lot. But if you consider the size of the universe, it's really very little. If you measure it in miles, it's a short distance in the universe. And we measure our distance to the sun in miles. The sun is shrinking by 5 feet per hour. So the sun can only be about 6,000 years old, because if it was any bigger than that, it would be getting closer and closer and closer to us, because our orbit is not changing in its distance, but the sun is shrinking. They're going to tell you that the universe is very old. The universe actually has no age. Okay, Einstein showed us this. The universe has no age. It's not old, it's not young, it's neither. It's not the way time works. If your teachers ever tell you you have an old universe, tell them, well, explain to me then Einstein's relativity and how that applies with gravity and motion as far as the unique individual ages of everything, and how can the universe have one age? Ask them that, and they're going to scratch their head and say, well, that's not what this class is about. Because they can't answer that. Einstein showed us that the universe, in fact, has no age. People try to say it's very old just because they can't imagine it being anything other than old because it's so big. But it's not very old. It has no age. Earth has an age. Earth is 6,100 and approximately 40 years old. We can demonstrate that. That's not hard to demonstrate. And the way that we demonstrate it is because of this precise order. The fact that the sun is shrinking 5 feet per hour is part of the structure, part of the order. It has to, because energy which the sun releases and size, which is related to its mass, are essentially the same thing. So if it's losing energy, it must be losing mass, in which case it can also be losing size, unless it's losing something called density, which doesn't appear to be. Okay, now the point of that is this. If we were more than 6,000 years old, then we couldn't survive here. There would be no life on Earth. Earth would not be a place that could sustain life. And the reason is, they say that the Earth is 4.5 billion years old. It's not possible. What if the Earth were 1 million years? The Sun would be so big compared to the Earth that the Earth would be a worldwide desert. If it was 20 million years old, the surface of the Sun would be touching the surface of the Earth. If it was 4.5 billion years old, the Earth would have to be inside of the Sun. Which is nonsense. So don't let anybody tell you this. Not in school, not your teachers, not anybody. Don't be disrespectful to them. But don't buy into it. Understand, yes, this is what you were taught. You were taught incorrectly. Okay, because Einstein showed us these things. And Einstein's not the only one. Several, many scientists have shown us these things. Okay, so don't buy into it. The preciseness of the universe is mind-boggling. For example, just the way the Earth works. The Earth has a magnetic field. The magnetic field is responsible for keeping the harmful part of the sun's radiation away from us. It protects us. We get the heat, we get the good parts of the sun's radiation for the most part. And the bad parts are pushed away, deflected by the magnetic field of the Earth. It surrounds the Earth. Now, the Earth's magnetic field is cut in half approximately every 1,500 years. This is why 1,500 years ago, the Earth's magnetic field would have been doubled. If the Earth were more than a few thousand years old, 6,000 years old, we'd have to be a star in order to have the magnetic field that we would have to have. But the Earth isn't a star. The Earth is a planet. So it's not possible for us to have that kind of a magnetic field as would be required, as would necessarily take place if the Earth was very old. That's part of that structure, part of that order. It's the way things work. Your teachers may tell you that you evolved from monkeys or something. I don't know about you, but my grandmother wasn't a monkey. Okay? The thing that they say causes this evolution is changes in your DNA. Your DNA can, in fact, have changes called mutations. Those changes are not good things. Usually, your body eliminates those changes. Your immune system is designed to eliminate changes because changes in your DNA aren't good for you. It causes you to get sick. And so your body is designed in such a way that if there's a change in your DNA, you get rid of it. And that happens all the time. You're constantly getting rid of it, and that's how you stay healthy. Now, they'll tell you that these changes caused people to form into people from something like monkeys. The source of those changes is supposed to be solar radiation, the primary source. There's other sources too, but the primary source. Well, we know that there would have been fewer changes in the past because there would have been less radiation in the past. Because there would have been a greater magnetic field. The other thing they say is that we can show things are very old. Maybe you've heard of this. Have you heard of carbon-14 dating? That's part of what's called radiometric dating. There's a few different elements that they use to do it. All of it doesn't work, which is kind of hysterical because they know it doesn't work. But they use it anyway. Why? Because it gives them the long ages that they desire to support evolution. Because they know that evolution doesn't work scientifically, they say, well, maybe if you had super long periods of time, then it would work. So they want these super long periods of time so they can say, no, God isn't there. God didn't do it. No, God did do it. That's the thing. You don't have to make up extra things to say God did it. You just have to look at the way things are and you can see God did it. Carbon-14 is a type of carbon. It acts just like normal carbon, which is something scientists call carbon-12. Carbon-14 is created out of nitrogen. Nitrogen is about 80% of the air, maybe more. When solar particles, things that come from the sun, enter into our atmosphere, they interact with the nitrogen in the atmosphere, and some of it, because of that interaction, turns into carbon. There's lots of carbon in the air. There's a whole lot more nitrogen. That carbon that's in the air is taken in by plants. You know how we use oxygen? Plants use carbon dioxide. The plants take in the carbon that's in carbon dioxide and they use it to make sugars. Those sugars are then used for energy, both by the plant and by the things that eat the plant. So if you have some animal, like a rabbit or something, that's eating a plant, it's taking in the sugars that the plant produces and it uses those sugars for its own energy. That's why it eats. When that carbon is produced out of nitrogen, this is the part I want you to get. When that carbon is produced out of nitrogen, it's a specific type of carbon, used carbon-14. The plants use that to make sugar. The animals eat the carbon-14. The thing about carbon-14 is that about every 1,400 years, half of what you have will turn back into nitrogen. Now, when it turns back into nitrogen, you end up with less carbon after that portion of carbon is turned into nitrogen. That's called radioactive decay. They say that if you measure the amount of carbon-14 inside the remains of something that died, you'll be able to tell how old it is. Well, that is an error. As a matter of fact, it's so much of an error that a few years ago, scientists tried this kind of method of determining how old a living oyster is. It's called carbon-14 dating. You take a little sample, you see how much carbon-14 is in it, and then you try to figure out its age by that sample. They took a living oyster and said, oh, this is 3,000 years old. No, it was alive. It was a new oyster. Yeah, they thought it was 3,000 years old based on that method. The method doesn't work. It's a ridiculous method. Now, the problem with it is, if you ask them, why are we not evolving? Because if we evolved, we should still be evolving. We should still be changing from humans to something else. And then they say, okay, we've reached this plateau, okay, and we've maximum adaptation and all this silliness. Okay, fine. And they say, in the past, we had lots of evolution taking place. Now it's not happening so much. Nonsense. It's not taking place, and it cannot take place, and organisms may appear old, but they cannot be old for this reason. The magnetic field. They may look old to scientists because scientists assume that those organisms started with the same quantity of carbon-14 as they have today. Now, I know this might be a little over your head. Just go with me on this. Okay, if you don't quite get it, don't worry about it. And if you can understand it, great. Now, scientists say, well, the organism, let's say the rabbit, started with the same amount of carbon-14 as is typically found today. And therefore, if you can measure the carbon-14 in it, and the difference between what you would find today, well, that can determine its age, because we know every 1,400 years, half of it goes away. Here's the problem with that. Carbon-14 is produced by the sun's rays interacting with nitrogen. The magnetic field blocks those rays. The magnetic field is being cut in half every 1,500 years. That means 1,500 years ago, we had double the strength of the magnetic field. 3,000 years ago, we had 4 times the strength of the magnetic field. And so on. That means that there would have been a whole lot less radiation from the sun interacting with the nitrogen in the air, changing it into carbon. So, of course, those organisms are going to have less carbon. There was less carbon available. If you can't get as much carbon, you're not going to have as much carbon. And so, of course, that carbon-14 isn't there. It doesn't reflect an old age. It reflects a magnetic field that is cut in half every 1,400 years. That's what's being reflected, not the age of the organism. You see, they play games like this and they make them sound reasonable if you don't understand what's actually going on. If you understand the order and the structure in everything, including living things, then you can see how it is that maybe you don't know the science behind it. It doesn't matter. You don't need to know the science behind it. If you do, great. If you don't sweat it. What you do is you trust the Word of God and you recognize that the Word of God is reflected in the order. Because God does everything decently in an order. For example, Adam is this very, 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 very tiny particle. You can say like a golf ball is an example of a particle. Okay, except it's a huge particle. So a particle is just like this very, 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 very small thing. Atoms are these very, 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 very small things. And everything on earth is made of them. You're made of them. And right now, we know of about 120 different types of them. Okay, but really only a handful are, you know, used in us. Well, every type of atom is exactly the same. For example, oxygen is a type of atom, and you find it in the air. Every oxygen atom is exactly the same shape. It has exactly the same characteristics in the way that it interacts with other things. They're all the same. You see, the structure and this order is everywhere. God is the only one who can produce this order. The important thing to understand about order is order cannot happen by itself. For example, have you guys seen maybe on TV or something when something explodes? Right, something will explode, you get this big, and all the pieces are kind of crazy. Would you say that there is more order in the thing before it exploded or after? More structure before it exploded or after? If I blow up Ashley's car, don't worry, I'm not going to blow up Ashley's car. If I blow up Miss Ashley's car, do you think that there will be more order and the car will work better before it blows up or after it blows up? What do you think? Before it blows up. After it blows up, good luck finding the wheels. It's not going to work real well. You see, order is something that does not just happen. That car became a car because somebody in the factory took all the pieces, figured out how to put them together, figured out how to make it work, and they literally, physically put it together. It didn't just happen. Somebody put it together. But if Miss Ashley does nothing to take care of her car and just lets it sit and sit and sit and sit, it's going to fall apart. Right? It's going to rust. Parts of it are going to, what's called dry rot. It'll just fall apart. It'll get dried out and fall apart. Like the tires and things like that. It'll just fall apart if she does nothing to maintain it. Because order does not just happen. What just happens is things fall apart. That's what happens if you do nothing. Things will fall apart. But look how ordered that car is. I mean, it works. It can take you from here to there. You step on the gas and it goes somewhere. You turn the steering wheel and the car turns. It's very orderly. It works. That's because somebody made it work. It's like that with the universe. There's tremendous order in the universe and it works. For example, the distance from the sun is because it works. God knew that that's the distance that would work. All right, well, that car works. The distance from the sun works. The order that is found in nature is why it works. If you take away the order, it won't work. Things will die. The order is why it works. In order to have order, somebody must put it together. God put together you, the trees, the grass, everything, the planet, the sun, the universe, He put it all together. And because God put it together, it works. If He didn't put it together, it can't come together on its own. Just like if you take all the parts for a car, you can take the seats and you can take the wheels and you can take the parts of the engine and you take the gasoline and the lights and all the parts and you put them on the ground all next to each other. You can leave them there for 100 million years, it's never going to become a car. The wheel will still be a wheel, and the seat will still be a seat, by then it'll probably fall apart, but you know what I'm saying. The gasoline will still be over there in the can. It's not just going to come together on its own. People have to take it, who work in the factory, put on the wheels, put in the seats, put in the lights, pour in the gasoline, put it all together. Likewise with God and us. You can have all the parts, but somebody has to put them together. That's the key to it. The atoms you're made of, God had to put them together. The earth, God had to put it together. The universe, God had to put it together. Your body, why is your brain in your head and your heart in your chest and not the other way around? Because it works better that way. And God put it together. Why are your eyes in your head and not in your feet? Because you'd be stepping on your eyeballs, that's why. It works better this way. The order is important. The order is very important. And that's why a lot of physicists in particular, because physics works with order. Why does the universe work the way it does? That's the question that physics asks. Why does this work? Okay, well, it works because of order. And so physicists study that order. That's why physicists are usually the scientists who most often believe in God, because they see the order, they examine the order, and they recognize order doesn't just happen. Somebody has to put order together. Right, have you ever had a messy room? And your mom says, clean up your room? Does the room just come together on its own? No, you have to clean it up. Somebody has to do it, right? It's like that with the universe. Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to create the order. Why is there such a precise pattern to a spiral galaxy? It literally looks like a spiral. Or to our supercluster, why does it look like a feather? Because somebody put it together, that's why. God put it together. Don't ever accept someone telling you that it just happened. Science tells us that's not possible. Things don't work that way. It can't. It's not capable of just happening. Things can just fall apart, but they can't be put together. It's like a Rubik's Cube. Does a Rubik's Cube align itself? No, you have to align it, right? And if you do it correctly, it aligns. It's like that with the universe. The universe can't put itself in order. God knows how to put it together, and it works because God put it together. You're going to hear a lot of this in your science classes. People telling you, oh, there is no God, and people telling you, oh, it all just happened by itself. Not possible. Now, I'm not telling you that as a pastor. I'm telling you that as a guy who has studied science for a long time in college. I have 2 science degrees. I'm telling you, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work like that for biology. It does not work like that in physics. And it does not work like that in chemistry. It doesn't work that way. Things can't just come together. If you have order, somebody put it together. It's the only way you're going to get order. But that order exists on every level. Your heart works because of the order. Your brain works because of the order. And that order is very, very precise. Don't ever forget that, guys. It's an easy thing for people to forget. Some people do forget it. Don't ever forget it. It's a terrible mistake to forget that. God made this universe, you, everything in it, to work. And it works because God made it to work.